Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
My name is Brother George Herrig, and it is a blessing and an honor to be here in this great nation of Liberia. It's my first time to this country, but I do not believe I'm a stranger in this country if I come to be among my brethren that love the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How many of you, can I see a raising of hands and think closely when I ask this, how many of you are born again? Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you have been born again, raise your hands. Only ones that I know, okay? All right, I see a lot of people in here that have been born again. Amen. Praise the Lord. There may be some in here that need to receive Christ as your Savior, and Jesus is giving you an opportunity. Just open your heart to God, and God will come to you. I myself was saved as a young man when I was 26 years of age. That was about 32 years ago. I was a sinner. I was one that did not know God. I knew God in my mind because I was raised in a religious home that taught about God and talked about Jesus Christ. But as far as the relationship with Jesus Christ actually living in my heart, I did not have. And it was a series of circumstances that came to a conclusion one night when the Lord sent an evangelist to my home to share with me about the reality of Jesus Christ. Now, it wasn't just a man that came, because the Bible says that no man comes to the Father except for first he draws him. God was already working in my heart, yet I did not know it until that night. But he said something to me very simple, very plain, but yet very profound. He said, George, do you realize that God is very real? He says, and that he is so real, he is as close as you and me are together standing here right now. And I said, well, I've never thought of it in that way. And he began to speak to me of a few more things. But before the night ended, I found myself being convicted of God, convicted of my sins, convicted of the need of something greater in my life. So at the end of that night, he shared with my wife and myself, and he said, could we pray? He said, George, do you want to know a reality of God? And for the first time in my life, I was faced with a thought deep in my heart, yes, I want to know the reality of God. And so he prayed a simple prayer over us, and that night God made himself very real to my household. You know how he did it? He sent a lightning bolt coming down and striking the very house where we were at when I was going to bed. The last thing I did at night was to pull a shade down from the window. We put our children to bed. They were 1 year old and 6 years old, and this lightning bolt struck. And I jumped. I said, my God, I was scared out of my... How would you feel if a lightning bolt came near to you, sister? And all the lights in the house went on, and I was shaking. I was shaking just like this. And I look out the window to my neighbor's lights. They were still on. And I looked over to this side, and my neighbor's lights were on. And I realized that the lightning bolt had hit our house. Everything went out. So I went down, and I turned the switch is back on, and found that the Lord came and used a lightning bolt not only to speak to me, but to show me a certain sin in my life. You know what that sin was? Do you know what the sin was? I had a TV set, and I would watch TV all day long. I didn't care what was on. Now, that was in 1980. Now, in 1980, the shows were very tame. They were nothing compared to the wickedness that is on TV today. But yet it was still wickedness. And I knew what I was being convicted of because I had a prayer that 2 months before the Lord. I knew I was going to hell. And one day as I was watching, 2 months before I was saved, my children were on the ground and I looked and I knew I was going to hell. And I said to myself, I'm going to hell, because I knew the sin within me. Yet at that very same instant, I looked at my children and I said, but I want something more for them. I didn't know it was a prayer at the time. But that night when that lightning bolt hit, and that night when all the lights went out and I went, I called my father up. He says, you better check all your appliances in the house because lightning will travel through your electricity, your wires, and will find a way to escape. Well, I went to the refrigerator fine, freezer fine, washer, dryer fine. I went to the TV set and I pushed the button once. No response. Pushed it twice. No response. When I pushed it the third time, I knew that God smote my TV set.
Amen.
And I knew that God gave me an answer to that prayer, that He showed me that He was real. Real enough to come down to Dubuque, Iowa, where I lived, and save a sinner like me. We got down on our knees that night, brethren. My wife and me got down on our knees at my bedside. And we began to cry out and say, Jesus Christ, come into our lives. Forgive us. No man was telling us how to pray. We said, God, we just give you our lives. Forgive our sins. We went into our bedroom where our six-year-old daughter was. We laid hands on her and we said, Jesus, we commit our daughter into your hands. Went into my son's bedroom. He was 6 months old. And we said, Lord, we commit my son into your hands. And you know, that day changed our lives forever.
Yeah.
I can tell you. June 27, 1980, approximate time about 10 o'clock in the evening. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We were born again. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something else. Every person who has that born again experience should know the day of your salvation. If you don't know the day of your salvation, then you have to begin to wonder if you were truly saved. You know, the Catholic Church, which I was raised up in, they baptize babies, they baptize them into their church, they baptize into, and they say that you were baptized into their church at birth. Well, born again isn't being born again just because you're born in a Christian family. Every person has to come to that realization that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Am I speaking something unfamiliar?
Amen.
It's a reality. Hallelujah. We don't need the drums for my sharing, okay? Praise the Lord. But that day on forever changed our lives, brethren. And I came to come into a place to where we began to meet with other Christians. And it was a wonderful experience to meet with the people of God. Do you know why? Because we were joined together by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to, can I erase this here? Brother Wade, would you mind erasing this for me, please? Or brother, I appreciate it. Thank you. Do you believe that God has a special word for you tonight?
Yes.
Well, let us pray. Father, we want to open our hearts up to you. We want to ask that, Lord, that you would bring forth your word to your people tonight. God, we know that you not only dwell in the heavens, but you want to dwell in the hearts of your people, Lord. And we know, Lord, that we need to open our hearts to you. We ask that you would touch the ears of each and every one here. And I pray also that you would just touch my mouth. And Lord, let me be a vessel that you might flow through tonight. So we ask this tonight in Jesus' name and to the glory of God. Amen. I want to share with you, do you know that God is three parts? God is three parts. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Do you know that you are made of three parts? A little more quieter. Do you know that you are made of three parts? The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, when he said, let us make man after our image and likeness. So when God created man, he said, I want to make man after our image and our likeness. Isn't it interesting when you look in that? Look in Genesis 1:26 there. Let us go to your Bibles and look at this. This is the first place where you see in the scripture that we serve a triune God, yet God is one. Hallelujah. And it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, hallelujah, a way to see, some are still turning their Bibles. All right, are we all there? Verse 26 says, and God said, let us. Do you see that where it says us? He said, let us make man in our image. So when God said, let us, he was talking about God the Father. He was talking about God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And he said, let us make man after our image and after our likeness. I'll draw three circles here. Three circles. As God is three in one, you also are three in one. Every person has a spirit, a soul, and a body. Amen? Everybody here got a body? Just a few amens?
Amen.
Take your fingers. Raise your right hand. Just your thumb and your first finger. Just move them. See, you all have a body, right? Huh? You all have a body. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There's no denying it. Even if they took you to the hospital, they would, either you're living or dead, they would say, this is a body, right?
Yes.
Huh? Amen. But so that is one part of you. But there's two other parts that we do not see. And yet we know that they are there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it is by the word of God. Every person has a spirit. The Bible says, if you turn to John chapter 1, John chapter 1. Verse 9. It says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God is the light that lighteth every man. Without God's Spirit, now I'm not talking of the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the Spirit of God. He lights every man, whether sinner or believer. Every person born in the world has a spirit. It is verified also in Ecclesiastes, where it says that when a man dies, his body returns to the earth, right? Dust thou art, and into dust thou shalt return. And it says, and his spirit goes back to God. Huh? Amen. You know, even the most wickedest man on the face of the earth had a spirit or has a spirit. How many of you with your history books know about Adolf Hitler of Germany? Raise your hands. Not too many. Adolf Hitler? Huh? A few? Well, he was one of the worst leaders in all nations in modern mankind. He was personally responsible for killing 6 million Jews in the Holocaust during World War II. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yet, he had a spirit. And when he died, the spirit went back to God and his body went to the earth. But now we're going to talk about the third part of you and I. It's called your soul. Hallelujah. Your soul. Your soul is comprised of four parts. Your mind, your will, your emotions, and your desires. Everybody have a mind here? Huh? Yes? Does everybody have a mind? Raise your hands. A mind. What you think. Right up here. Your mind. Everyone has it. How many of you have emotions? Do you cry? Do you get happy? Do you get sad? Do you get angry? Right? We show emotions. If someone smiles at you, you smile back. It's an emotion, right? That's part of your soul. How about desires? How many of you have desires? Huh? Do you desire certain types of food? Right? Huh? Do you desire certain types of clothes that you wear? Huh? If you're married, do you desire to have children? If you're unmarried, do you desire to have a husband or a wife? These are what makes you up. It's your desires. All right, and the fourth part of your soul is your will. Huh. Brother Jajoki, do you have a will? You do. Brother, do you have a will? You chose whether to come here or not today, right? Then your will made the deciding factor you were going to be here. Huh? There are probably some here that willed not to be here. For whatever reason, only God knows. But it was part of their character or their part of their soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now the soul is the prize that God is after. And it is the soul that is the prize that the devil is after. Hallelujah. Because, as the Bible teaches us, when a man dies, the spirit goes back to God, the body returns to the earth, but the soul goes dependent upon what the soul has submitted themselves to. If the soul has submitted themselves to the devil and is under the bondage and tutelage of the devil and has not received the life of God, the soul goes to the prize of Satan. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Huh? But the soul that is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb has been bought by Jesus Christ. And as that soul submits itself unto God, the Spirit of God is able to work in that soul to deliver him from the power of darkness that's in the soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I want to talk about this soul tonight because it's a very important part of your being that you need to do something about. I need to do something about. I want to you to turn to Isaiah chapter 52. If you could please do that for me. Isaiah 52. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, he says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. Amen. And the word of God here in 52, verse 11, says, depart ye, go ye out from thence, and touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. As we've been going through these meetings the last 2 days, the word has been bringing here to this people, to this place, that there is problems and there is the devil that is in the church of God. Is that right?
Yes.
Have you been hearing that? That the devil is in church business. He's in church things that we are doing that we should not be doing. And that is the thing that God is saying, come out of that midst of that activity. Hallelujah. The Bible also says, come out of Babylon, because the whole church system has fallen to the lowest place that it has. And the Bible records it in the book of Revelation, for the last church age was the Laodicean church age. Are you familiar with that? It's in the third chapter of Revelation. It says that this last church age, which we believe we are living in, it's the time of Jesus' return, that the Laodicean church says that we are what? What is it? It's rich and what? Let's turn to it. Rich, Revelation chapter 3. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 3, and I'll start in 14. Listen what the Word of God says. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Hallelujah.
Amen.
"I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." Or spew means like spit out of your mouth. In God, it's like God tasting something that's not good. Huh? So a carnal Christian or a worldly Christian or a Christian that really, oh, they say they're saved and they're moving, but in the reality, God is not a living reality in their heart. You're a lukewarm Christian at best. And God says it's better that you were either hot or cold, because to be halfway is terrible before God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, Jesus says here, he says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know a rich man and a rich Christian man and a poor rich a poor Christian man could be in the same position? A poor Christian man could say, "You know, Jesus, praise the Lord, I have everything. I've been saved. I go to church every week." But the living reality of Christ living and walking and talking in you, not there. That poor Christian man is as bad off as a rich Christian man that has the same thoughts. Doesn't matter if one had $1 and one had $100,000 in his pocket. God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. And he is wanting his church to rise up in a place of walking and talking with the living God. And the way that we begin to walk and talk with him is in this area of our souls. Let's start first on your mind. The Bible says in Isaiah 26... that God's going to keep you who are born again, have the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, "I will keep you in perfect peace as your mind is stayed on him." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now that's a challenge, isn't it? Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's a challenge. How do we get our mind stayed on him? We begin to feed off of the Word of God. We begin to meditate. We begin to pray. We begin to seek the face of God. And as we do, you know, our mind is like a gate. It's like an open door, you understand? And look at how the devil uses your mind against you. You walk out there and you see all these pictures. You see all these scenes going on. You have to watch what you see. You have to watch what you think. Because you can think the wrong things. And all these things are working in your soul that the devil can use to make you give wrong desires, give you wrong emotions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The devil is in the business of eating up Christians. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, he loves to eat Christians for breakfast, for lunch, for supper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What's your favorite food here in Liberia?
Rice.
Rice? All right. What else? What besides rice? I mean, something that really tastes good. Maybe that you put on rice. What's your national feast? If someone says, "We're having a big feast and we're going to serve what?" What?
Jollof rice, kasawali.
Okay. All right. Say that.
Jollof rice, kasawali.
Okay. All right. You know, the devil out there, he's eating garbage. Sinners are garbage to him. But Christians is what he just spoke. He wants to feast off of you. Do you know why? there's something about a Christian that's different than a sinner. What is it? Because God brings life to the soul. When you become born again, God brings His blood to your soul. Here's where it comes, right here. Your soul, God touches with His blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
His blood. The blood that was shed on Calvary. You know the blood of Jesus Christ is here right now?
Yes.
It is right here, hovering. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yes.
There might be a little girl out here in this congregation that's hearing the Word of God, and all of a sudden God is convicting her of her sin, and she says, I need you, Jesus. Do you know what God does? The blood immediately goes to that soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the soul becomes saved. The Bible says in Ephesians, it says, ye who were once dead in sins and trespasses, He has now quickened. That means before you were saved, your soul was dead. Every soul is dead out there until they receive the life of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why the blood is so important in our lives. Not only the day that we were saved, but every day as we walk with Him, as we talk with Him. I need the blood every day of my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I still fail. I still falter. I can still say wrong things. And God help me. I thank God for His presence, because if I still feel convicted, I have to get down on my knees and I need to repent and say, God, forgive me for what I've done to this brother. God, forgive me of this evil thought. And as immediately as I come in true repentance to God, the blood of Jesus Christ washes that sin away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The day of your salvation continues each and every day in your life with the power of the blood working to eradicate the sin that wants to work in your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We need the blood of Jesus Christ to wash us of our sins. But the initial washing, the day when we knelt down and we said, Jesus, we want You to come into our lives as our Savior and Lord. Jesus came with the blood. And He made my soul was dead for 26 years. Dead to God. Dead to heaven itself. But that day, God brought the blood, touched me. As it says in Ephesians, He quickened me. My soul now became alive. Hallelujah. My soul now, which is dead in sin, has now been made alive. You see, when God made Adam, He made him from the dust of the ground, and it says He breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That soul is eternal. But the determination of who you're going to serve will determine where you're going to be, whether in heaven or in hell. For the Bible says, whatever spirit you submit yourself to, that spirit you become servant to obey. So why would I want to obey the devil that will bring me into bondage and corruption? And that can happen when we're Christians, right?
Yes.
Can Christians sin?
Yes.
Just a few yes?
Yes.
Can Christians sin?
Yes.
Oh yes, they do. But are we to continue in sin?
No,
God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And that's the problem in the church today. For the church has been desensitized with sin, and they move and they are not convicted of the sin or the manner of living that you should be different than the way it is in the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, we are what you call church Christians. When we come in here and we dress up very nice and we sing and we dance and we pray, but we go out there and we act like sinners. We need to repent of being double-minded, or one place in the church and one place in the world. You can't serve two masters. You'll either grow to hate the one and to love the other, but you can't serve them both. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we see that this last church age that we're in, and it's not exclusive to Liberia. It's all over the United States, Asia, Europe, Nigeria. The church age has come to a very, very low standard. of enjoyment of living in the presence of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to get down on our knees and say, God, save me. Save your people. Save the people of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Raise us up higher. Not to live in a low plane in humanity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But in a place with Him. He says in verse 18, He says, I counsel thee. What's counsel? What would that definition for counsel be? I'd advise you to buy of me. This is Jesus speaking to us. He says, I advise you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Do you know what gold is concerning the Bible? Gold is symbolic of the nature of God. How do we know that? If you study your Bible, Brother Bert was talking earlier about this picture of this rectangular. He's speaking of the tabernacle. And when you study the tabernacle out, and I know we're going to bring some books, and we encourage you to begin to look into the Old Testament, because that tabernacle that was written in the Old Testament was written for us today. Why? Jesus said it. Jesus said, you know, when the Pharisees and them came and attacked them, or who was it? They were the ones that came, and they said, we were children of Abraham. It was the Pharisees, wasn't it? And he says, we're the children of Abraham. He goes, you're of the father, you're devil. You know, that was a pretty hard statement to say to church people of that day, won't you say? Everybody's quiet. It was a hard statement. But then he went on and said, he says, we be not the devil, we're Abraham's children. He says, I tell you the truth. He said, if you would have read of Moses, you would have read of me because he spoke of me. That's what Jesus said. Now, if you go into your Old Testament, you will not see a word speaking about Jesus. But he was speaking about the Son of God. And all these things in the Old Testament are types and shadows to teach us about God. Isn't that marvelous? There are so many keys and things that we should be seeking God out, seeking understanding. How many of you have Bibles here? Raise your hands. I see a good number of them. I have a very good amount. Praise the Lord. That's very good to see. Well, I tell you what, we need to seek out the Word of God. It says to study, to show thyself approved, that thou might be a good workman, that thou might not be ashamed in the day of your visitation. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Bible also says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we see, if you study it out, in that tabernacle, there was a holy place and a holiest of all. Do you remember the drawing from earlier this morning? It was rectangular. And it had three divisions in the tabernacle. And in this place, in the sanctuary, in the holy place and holiest of all, everything was made of gold. Either covered over with wood, covered over with gold. It was made of wood, like the certain pieces of furniture. Do you know, there are so many keys in the Bible. It's so wonderful. Do you know when they made the different pieces of furniture in the Testament? How many have ever heard of the table of showbread?
Yeah.
Raise your hands.
Yeah.
Table of showbread.
Yeah.
One brother. Okay, we got a lot of teaching to do here. Hallelujah. This table of showbread was a place where the priest went in to meet with God. This whole tabernacle. This place here, God said, make me a tabernacle. When he spoke to Moses when he was on the mount. And he says, that I might dwell among them. So there was a progression in God. And this is going to show you, as you study, as you learn of this tabernacle, you will see that you also have a progression in God. There's more to God than just being born again, brethren. Amen? How many of you here are baptized in the Holy Ghost? Raise your hands. Baptized in the Holy Ghost. Baptized in the Holy Ghost. Separate work, right? Huh? All right. I see a number. There's a number that aren't baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's another work of God. But there's more than just being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Do you know why God gives the Holy Ghost? Anybody? Can anybody tell me why God gives you the Holy Ghost?
To battle the kingdom of darkness.
To battle the kingdom of darkness? Okay, what else? Battle the kingdom of darkness. Very good.
Holy Spirit again.
Huh?
For the most holy faith in Jews.
For what? I'm sorry?
Jews, the most holy faith.
The most holy faith.
To renew.
To renew. Okay. Well, the Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy. God gives you the Holy Ghost to fight darkness, but for that truth to enter into your heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I want to show you something. It's very simple, but when you become born again and you receive His blood, you receive the blood into your soul, this part. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and one, you cannot get the baptism of the Holy Ghost unless you're born again. Hallelujah. But when you are born again, the Holy Spirit, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit in this part into your spirit. Why does Jesus send the Holy Spirit into your spirit instead of your soul? Pardon me?
To help you relate with Him.
Right, but what I'm saying is, why does Jesus bring the Holy Ghost into your spirit and not into your soul?
Well, I think in John 14:16, it says that to teach you all things according to remembrance of Him, who Jesus was then the teacher. As then, so the Spirit came to teach us and bring us back into the relationship with God.
Right, but there's an important for you to know where the Holy Spirit comes when you receive the Holy Spirit. He comes into your spirit. I'm showing you something here that we are a three-part being, right? Everybody understand?
Yes.
Body, soul, spirit. And that when you are born again, the blood comes to your soul. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes to you, He has to come only in this place, the spirit. Why? Because it's a place that is pure. It's always pure. Whether it's a sinner out there, it's part of God. So God can't, if God would come into your soul right now, is your soul totally clean?
No.
You couldn't take it, could you?
Huh?
The Bible says God can't even look upon sin. So how could His Holy Spirit come into our soul when the soul is still not changed? So He comes into His spirit because it has to be put into a container that's pure. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is, as part of what you said, brother, to battle the kingdom of darkness. Where is the kingdom of darkness? It's out there. And where else is it? In here. Hallelujah. In here. Yeah, the darkness still right. Does darkness still live in you, brother? I'm talking to you. Yeah, you. Yeah, is there darkness in you?
No.
No? Oh, boy. Well, let me give you a scripture verse. Let me give you a scripture verse. Oh, my goodness. I want you to remember this scripture verse. And I'm not trying to embarrass you. All right. If the Bible says in 1 John, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Brother, I still fall into sin. And I... Do you want to answer that question again?
Yes.
Do you have sin? Do you still have sin in your life?
No.
No.
Yes.
Can I read the scripture verse again? Let's read this together. You have a Bible? Is that your Bible? Turn to 1 John, to the first epistle of John, chapter 1. Turn everybody, please, turn everybody. Chapter 1. And we'll read 7 before we read that answer to him, okay? Because I think we all need to know this before the night ends. All right. Here is a promise of God. Everybody got your Bibles open?
Yes.
1 John, not the Gospel of John, but the Epistle of John. 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to start in 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that good? You're saying amen, right? All right, now read the next verse. I want you to read the next verse. You read it.
I'll find it.
Oh, you're in the Gospel of John. Here. There's the epistle of John. Right here. Philippians, 1 Peter. It's the last one before the book of Revelation. All right. Jude. All right. It's right here. It's this page here. Chapter 1. Right here. And it says, verse 8. I want you to read 8 to everybody, okay?
If you want.
If we say.
If we say we have one.
No
sin. We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us.
Okay. Can I ask you one more time? Do you have sin in your life?
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. For if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Come on. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We need to first recognize of the seed of evil within us. If we don't, we're in trouble. We're all in trouble as a church if we don't recognize that the things that are not pleasing to God, that we allow them to live inside of us. That's why Paul wrote in the book of Romans. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
No.
And he says, how, God forbid. Let's say that. I'm going to ask you the question and you say no and then say God forbid, because that's what the word says. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
No.
Come on, you do better than that. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
No.
God forbid. Amen. There has to be a determination in us to hate sin. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Bible says that God hates sin. And so if God hates sin, the Christian should hate sin also. The problem with Christians is that they like sin. They enjoy sin. But do you know what sin does? Sin brings forth death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sin brings forth death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We must hate sin as God hated them. You know, God gave me a principle one day. As a young Christian, I was struggling with sin. I was struggling with lust. And I found God. I come and I ask you, God, deliver me of this lust. And I would work and I'd pray and I'd do this and that. And I would find I'd still get up and I'd struggle with it. I'd struggle with it and struggle with it. You know, God came to me one day and you know how He gave me a simple formula for getting rid of that lust in my life and that sin in my life? Do you know what He said to me? He said, Brother George, when you hate the sin more than you like it, then you will be delivered of that sin.
Amen.
Come on, help me now. Think about what I just said. Some of you are looking down. I want you to get it if you're feeling that you have sin in your life, because God wants to deliver you of sin. Brother Bert was talking about the power of God, and he was talking about how the devil seems so big. The devil isn't big at all. God is bigger than anything, but God wants your heart. God wants you to make a decision to serve Him with all of your heart. Hallelujah. So, let me tell this, brethren. When you make the decision that you want God more than you want the sin, you get the deliverance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
No man can stop you from receiving the power of God in your life to put down sin in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Come on now. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. We're talking in the book of Isaiah. Let's go back there. Isaiah 52. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I need a little drink. Isaiah 52. Remember, we're talking, you're a three-part being. And I want to just say right here, if there are those here tonight that maybe you don't know if you ever were born again, maybe you've been coming to church for a long time, maybe you've been coming for a little, doesn't matter. But unless you made that determination and that Jesus Christ came to you and that you know that you're a sinner and you have to make a determined effort that you are going to accept Him as your Savior and Lord, if you have not done it, you need to do it. God wants to save you. God wants to set you free from the power of sin and hell. God wants to give you of His blood. His blood is alive, you see. This blood is not like your blood and our blood that when was shed to the ground goes to the earth. When that blood was shed on Calvary and all that blood drained out of his body, it was life that went out to the world. Hallelujah. And that blood has been alive for over 2,000 years in the spirit realm. And all you have to do is reach out and receive it by faith. Hallelujah. You'll never be good enough to come to God, you understand. You can never say, oh, okay, if I get rid of this or get this, then I'll come and be born again. No. It doesn't work that way. Because we're all sinners. And sinners do what sinners do. Do you know what sinners do? They sin. Hallelujah. Don't go looking out there at sinners and go, oh man, isn't that a bad sinner? I don't feel that way when I see sinners. They're just doing what their father, the devil, makes them do, sin. All I can do is have compassion and say, God, save them. Deliver them, for they're going to hell. But if any of us here in this room have never accepted Christ as your Savior or Lord, today is the day you need to consider it. For the Bible says, if you hear His voice today, and I'm talking to you, any of you, some of you young children, if you've never accepted the Lord, but you understand what I'm saying to you right now, Jesus loves you. He wants to come to you. He wants to save you of your sins. Young lady, do you sin? Do you do wrong? Do you disobey your parents? You don't disobey your parents? Huh? Once in a while? Yeah. Well, that's called sin. And so God wants to save you from sin. Each and every one of us. But we have to come. It's not something that I can do or anybody do but Jesus Himself. Because all you have to do is believe on Jesus Christ. The Bible in Romans 10 says, it says that the Word of God is near thee. The Word of God is near thee, even in your own mouth and your heart. And it says that if you will confess your sins, if you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, He was sent by God the Father, He walked on the earth, and He died on the cross, and on the third day He rose. If you believe that, and if you believe that you are in need of being saved, you're needing the blood of Jesus to come into your soul, then all you have to do is ask for it in faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that marvelous? God, you know, someone quoted it earlier tonight. He said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on His name shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to pray as we're talking here tonight, because at the end of the service, we're going to ask, who would like to be born again? And I want you to think about it very carefully. Because there could be some here that thinks, well, I was born again, but think about it. Everyone, think about it very close. You should remember the day you were born again. You should know the difference between when you were a sinner and when you were saved. I knew it. I have a little my daughter was 6 years old. She's 38 years old right now. When we got born again, 2 months after we were saved, we went to a little church and they had a little Sunday school. And there was a woman there that was teaching the Sunday school, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And as she was teaching, she could see my little daughter. Is there anybody in here that's 6 years old? 6 years old. Anybody? Huh? A couple of you back there? They were your age. And as she was hearing the Word of God, the woman sensed that she wanted to accept the Lord. And so she asked my daughter at 6 years of age. She knew that she needed to accept Jesus Christ in her life. And so the woman led my daughter, who was 6 years old. She came out of that meeting and she said, Daddy, Mommy, I have given my heart to Jesus today. Amen. I have given my heart to Jesus. And my daughter has grown up. She is now married and has 8 children. Oh, yes. And this man over here, this brother Bert that's been ministering, we've been traveling together. We've known each other since 1982 and 30 years. And God took His oldest son and my firstborn daughter, and they have been married for 18 years. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God is in the saving business. And I want, a few more things I want to share, but I want you to think about as I'm talking about salvation. Because without salvation, you are lost. You're bound for hell. You're in needing of someone to save you. Who is the Savior of the world? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What if you're thrown out into the ocean out here? Is it this way or that way? Where's the ocean here? It's that way. Okay. Thrown out to that ocean. Way far out. It's like what you are as a sinner. You're out in the ocean of sin. It's deep underneath, too far to swim to shore. What are you going to do? You're going to die unless someone throws out a life, what do they call those floating devices that you could climb on and be saved, right? Hallelujah. Unless you reach out and receive the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood is like that life preserver or that help comes. You just have to reach out and touch it. Hallelujah. God wants to save you. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, we're back in Isaiah 52. And now I'm talking to the people of God who have been born again. And it says in 52... Verse 14, we read the first part of it where it said, depart ye, go out from thence, touch no unclean thing. So brethren, if we believe in Romans 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And we say, no, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Right? So the Bible here says, It says, touch no unclean thing. If you are true born again a Christian and you're participating in sin, you need to stop it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How many of you have heard the word repentance? Repentance. Raise your hands. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know what repentance means? It means change. It means to be changed. Hallelujah. So you know the way of a Christian's life is every day to be in repentance. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I don't go out there willfully thinking I'm going to sin. No. Because I gave my life to Jesus. If you're a true born believer, you are not going to willfully want to sin. So when you do sin, it's because the devil has come to cause you to fall into sin. But God has made a provision. If you're convicted and you repent of your sin, God is able to quickly forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, the power of the blood working. But the commandment of God to the people of God, to all of you here, including all of us, it says, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean, hallelujah, that bear the vessels of the Lord, be you, that's what ye means. We're reading out of the King James Version. Ye means you. It says, be you clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Now, I want to just go into a little bit about that word vessels. Vessels. It's an interesting word. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have heard the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins? Raise your hands. Raise them up high. I want to see how many everybody has heard the parable of the five wise and the five foolish virgins. Okay, let us turn to Matthew chapter 25. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we say amen tonight?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, as I'm up here sharing the word of God, I stand up here in fear and trembling because I have to walk in the very thing that I preach. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In fact, I have more of a responsibility to walk in righteousness because I'm speaking the word. It's like a two-edged sword that goes out. I have to live what I preach. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have a greater responsibility when we teach the word of God to people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there needs to be repentance. There is so many things of wickedness in the church today. And when I say the church, I'm talking of the church in America. You know, America is a great country, right?
Yes.
They export all their commodities and goods, right? You know, they ship things all over the world. Do you know what the sins of the American church is? We ship out all of our Christianity churchiness, our sins of the church. Oh, yes. Do you know that there are certain leaders in various denominations and things that a lot of people look up to, and these men and women are in sin? There's great congregations in Atlanta, Georgia, that people follow around the world. They follow their music. They follow all these things. And we find out in the papers here that the man that's been preaching has been in adultery, has been in fornication, has been in all sorts of sin and wickedness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you need to know. The Bible says, know those that labor among you. You should know who's preaching to you. You know why? Because if I come up here and I begin to preach and I'm a man in sin and you swallow everything that I give you, I'm giving you of a spirit. And if I am speaking up here and you don't discern that I'm out living in adultery and you go on week after week and feeding off of what I am, you're in trouble. Why? Because I'm giving out the spirit of adultery. And you find that you're starting to think about adultery. Hallelujah. You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, He says, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so it's important. It's important because what I say up here, it's not what I do. It's not the theatrics of what I say. It's what I say in the spirit. And if I say it in the spirit that comes from God, you're going to be blessed. You're going to receive life. It's going to convict you of sin. It's going to cause you to get down on your knees and begin to seek the face of God. That's the power of God. That's what the church needs. The church is blind. Remember what we read in Revelation? You know, the church says, we're in need of nothing. All these churches in America, they're bound up by leaderships and all sorts of wicked things are happening. And you go out to Colorado, you see these big mega churches, 20,000 people. And there was one out in Denver, Colorado. Do you know what the man was involved in? They were all going to church every Sunday. They were listening to music. They're jumping up and down. And all of a sudden it comes out that the man lived in homosexuality. He had a boyfriend for years. And the church did not know it. What type of spirit was under those 25,000 people? Where was the spirit of God in them to discern between good and evil? If a person was really in God, they would be able to tell that spirit a mile away. Hallelujah. The church is in trouble. The church worldwide is in trouble. And the only way out of that trouble is to get into God. We need to know God for ourselves. The Bible teaches that there is only one mediator between God and man. There's only one mediator, sister, between you and God, and it's the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not your pastor that stands in the place of God for you. No. But the problem is in the church today, so many people look to their pastor and they do not look to God. That's the sin of the church. And if you are doing it, you need to repent. And if the pastor is allowing it, he needs to repent. Because the church is designed that Christ should be over the church. When you come in here, the Holy Spirit should be leading you, not man. Huh? It's the Spirit of God. You think about what I'm saying. We need to come back to God. We need to come back to the root of our foundation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, we're in Matthew 25. And those that have not heard the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins, please listen carefully as we read this, okay? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Matthew 25, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened. All right, the kingdom of God. We talked about it before. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, right? The Bible also teaches us that the kingdom of God, Jesus said, if any man says, here is Christ, or there is Christ, go not forth. Right, brother? He says, for lo, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. It's within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Where? In this place right here, in your being. The kingdom of God, if you are born again, if you have received of the Spirit, God is wanting to bring the kingdom of God into your soul. So it says here, then shall the kingdom of heaven be like unto 10 virgins. 10 virgins. Everybody got two hands? Raise it up. 10 virgins. Right? All right. 10 virgins. They took their lamps. They took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Huh?
Jesus.
Jesus is the bridegroom, right? The Bible tells us that Jesus is coming back for who? A bride who is what? Without spot or without blemish, right? Again, it's talking about us needing to be clean, right? So it's midnight. You know what midnight is? That's the return of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus is going to return at the darkest hour on the face of the earth. And I want to tell you something about this hour. It still has yet to come. Because when you read Matthew 24 and you read about it, it says there's going to come a time on the face of the earth that it has never been like before. And I'm talking to you, my dear brethren, that have gone under severe trials and testings in Liberia, right? 15 years of civil war, horror, death, famine, sickness, all sorts of abuse, all sorts of wickedness. But you know, the Bible says something's going to come upon all the world. So not just what you've experienced in Liberia, the United States is going to experience, Europe's going to experience, all of Africa is going to experience. It's coming upon the whole world. Darkness is coming. But you know what? There's good news. Jesus is coming. It says in Isaiah, it says, "And darkness shall cover the people and gross." It says, "Shall cover the earth and gross darkness of people, but a light shall shine forth." What light? It's the Christians. It's the people that God has placed here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Brother, you've been talking about the salt of the earth, right? You said it yesterday. You said it today. You said if salt loses its savor, what good is it worth? God wants us to be true Christians. He wants us to walk in the light of Him. And that's going to be the light of the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So midnight is when Christ is coming. And I want to just share one more thing to you, because I believe it's necessary. If for whatever reason, through all the suffering this nation has caused, among the Christians here or out there, they need to go to God and say, "God, touch my heart." You know, because we can harden our heart against God when things like that happen. Do you know that?
Yes.
We could start to say, "Where were you, God? Why didn't you save this person? Why didn't you save that?" And a lot of people then fall away from God. And when you look in Matthew 24... it says that when this trouble comes in the earth, it says many hearts will turn cold because they think that God forsaken them. God has not forsaken you. God says that He can turn your trials to good. Huh? You want an example in the Bible? Read the story of Joseph. Read the story of Joseph. What happened to Joseph? Huh? I mean, how many know the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? Raise your hands. Okay. Okay, brethren, you can share about the story of Joseph, because a lot of them near to hear it. Joseph was a man, he had 11 brothers, and they hated him because he was the favorite of his father. There's so many things in the story, but do you know what happened to him as a young man? They all hated him, and they took Joseph on a day when his father sent him to see how his brethren fared, and they were jealous with hatred and anger. So they threw him in a pit, and these Ishmaelites came by, and they said, "Well, we won't kill him, let's just sell him." So his own brothers sold him into slavery. Huh? How would you feel if do you have brothers and sisters? Do you? What if they sold you into slavery? Would you feel very good? No, 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 no. And worse off, he was sold into slavery into a nation of tongue he did not know. And he was there and God was still with him. And yet every step of the way, when he seemed to prosper, he went into the house of an Egyptian named Potiphar. And the wife tried to commit sin with him. But he would not, because he had a relationship with God. So what happened? Did God deliver him? No. The husband got mad at him and threw him into jail. He went from what we call in the United States, going from the pot into the fire. Huh? It seemed he kept going down, down, down. But do you know what about this Joseph? And I want you to study it out sometime. God used Joseph to try him. Because when he came of age, God was with him, the Spirit of God was with him, moving in him, speaking with him. He was communing with God, and there came a day when the greatest man on the face of the earth, Pharaoh of Egypt, had a dream, and nobody could interpret it. And he called for Joseph, because Joseph had interpreted dreams to two of Pharaoh's officers. So they said, "We know a man who hears from God." He said, "Bring him forth." And Joseph interpreted the dream. Do you know what Joseph did? What he did to Joseph? The dream he had foretold of a famine that was going to come on the earth for 7 years. That first there would be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. Pharaoh says, if this dream came from God, which he knew, he said, "There's no one wiser than you, Joseph." He put Joseph next to him. And he became a savior of the world. Hallelujah. So God can design tribulation and trouble into something good in your lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm sharing with you, and I'm sharing it out with each of you. If your heart's been hardened because of all the wickedness of the land, and you have lost faith, or you've gotten bitter with God, you need to say, "God, forgive me." Because you know the problem we have as Christians? We see everything from this point. But God sees from this point. Huh? So God wants to touch you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Let's go on. The story of the 10 virgins. They took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now raise your hands again. There were 5 that were wise. I want you to raise your right hand. You know, the right hand is symbolic of the Word of God. All right? The ministry of God, your right hand. So 5 wise is this hand. And the Bible says there were 5 foolish. Huh? Do we know what foolish means? Everybody knows what foolish means? Folly, you know, now, huh? What's the word for foolish? Anybody? Simple, not of understanding. Huh? Praise the Lord. All right, so 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Now look at this. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. All right, so the foolish took their lamps. Now, what is the lamp? I'm going to show you what the lamp is. The lamp, right? The lamp is the soul, right? All right. The lamp is the soul. That's your soul. All right. What is oil representative of? What's symbolic of oil in the New Testament? Anybody know? The Holy Spirit. Your Bible is full of types and shadows. And when you see oil, it means it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So the 5, it says here that the foolish, the 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They had no oil in their souls. All right? But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. So the vessel, it says the wise took oil in their vessels. The vessel, the lamp really is the soul of the Spirit. The vessel is the Lord, is your soul. All right? What is a vessel? It's a container, right? Right? You take a vessel to get water, right? I see them filling vessels, containers with water, right? Well, you're a vessel. Hallelujah. Your soul is a vessel. So the wise took oil in their vessels. They took the Holy Spirit. They got the Holy Spirit into their soul. Remember what I said? We need to have our minds stayed on the Lord, right? Huh? And we need our emotions. We need to open up to God. This is how, when we're born again and we receive the Holy Spirit, as we open up to the Holy Spirit comes into our soul and changes it, brother. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we can come into the nature of Christ. Not when we die, right now. The more we walk with God and talk with God, He walks in us and He talks with us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it says here, so while the bridegroom tarried, has Jesus come yet? Has Jesus come yet? No, He hasn't come yet in the world, has He? No, we're still waiting for His return, right? So it says that while the bridegroom tarried means, you know, waited, it says they all slumbered and slept. The 5 wise and the 5 foolish slumbered and slept. That means that they were not awake, right? And at midnight, when Jesus returns, at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Do you know who's making that cry? It's not the angels. It's the ministry that God is sending in the earth to say, get ready for the coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You need to get ready. We need to get ready. So then, they all awoke. The 5 wise, the 5 foolish, they all awoke. But there was a problem. It says, then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. All right? Do you know how, do you ever have a lamp here where you have oil and then you have a wick? You know how it burns and you see, you know, it's giving off an odor? Is anybody familiar with that? Huh? Okay. Well, trimming means is you're taking off the things that would be an offense. You know, if you have a lamp with oil and a wick and you don't cut it, it fills a room with smoke, doesn't it? Huh? So there is a place of cleansing. But the problem was, the foolish said unto the wise, they didn't have oil. Where did they have oil? They didn't have oil in their soul. So they went to the wise. Okay, forgive me, but this is the right side, right? All right? Here's the five wise virgins over here. All right? Here's the five foolish. Now, there could be more foolish over here than wise. All right? But let's just, for sake of understanding, these are the foolish. So it's midnight, and all of a sudden the foolish, you all turn to the wise, and you go, we have no oil, right? There's a problem, right? Jesus is coming. So you turn to them and you say, look at them. Everybody look over there. Look at, they're all five wise virgins over there. You say, give me your oil. Huh? Would you like oil at midnight? Huh? You don't know? Okay, well, you need to pray. Jesus is coming, and you need to be ready. All right, so they got the oil, and it's midnight, right? All right, look at this. It's at midnight, and the foolish say, give us of your oil. Look at this. Come on, we're foolish virgins. I'm over here with you. I'm not making you alone. We say to them, give us of your oil. Look at them. Please, look over. Give us of your oil. We need oil, right?
Yes.
All right. We need your oil. But you know what they tell us? Boy, they don't seem very nice. It says, we say, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. What a terrible place for a Christian for their lamps to go out. Right? Where are you at if your light goes out? You're in darkness. You're in darkness. Christians should not be in darkness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, here we go. But the wise answered. You know, you're a nice Christian, right? Are you going to give them your oil? No. Why? Because the Bible says they don't. Well, that's not very nice, is it? But if they gave their oil, they wouldn't have anything for themselves. Look what they say. But the wise answered, saying, not so. Everybody say not so over here.
Not so.
Not so. Why? Lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Do you know what you have to do to buy oil? You need to walk through trouble. You need to walk through tribulation. You need to walk and not submit yourself to the world. As you do not submit to sin. You do not submit to Satan. You do not submit to bad movies. You do not submit yourself to music that does not glorify God. That you do not commit sin against your mind, against your body. You have to keep yourself clean. Hallelujah. That's the only way you're going to buy the oil. Hallelujah. And over here, we know not all of you are wise virgins, sorry. But you need to do the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Now listen to the rest of the parable. And while they went to buy, okay, I'm back over here with the foolish virgins. We're all going to go out and buy, right? Right? We need oil?
Yes.
All right, yes. Well, come on, what about back there? I want to hear some more yeses. Oh, we're all quiet. All right. I'll say it for you all. Yes, we need to go buy oil.
Yes.
But while we go out that door, and they're all waiting because they don't have to go buy oil. They already have it. It says that while they went to buy, as we went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, the five wise, they went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. We go outside that door, and all of a sudden, the door shut. My God, help us. And it says the door was shut. And afterwards came us. We came back, you know. We came back and we're knocking on the door. Wait. What about us? The foolish virgins, what about us? And they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. It's midnight. We don't have the oil, but open to us. And what does the Lord say? He answered and said, truly I say unto you, I know you not. My God. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. How does He differentiate between the five wise and the five foolish? Because God knew the five wise. He didn't know the foolish. How did He not know the foolish from the wise? Very simple. Remember, we're talking about us being a three-part being, right? When we become born again, we receive the blood into our soul, right? When we receive of the Holy Spirit, we receive the Holy Spirit into our spirit. But it's not enough. We can have the blood or a born again experience. We can have the Holy Spirit, but we could still be five wise, foolish virgins, because the oil in the lamp is in our spirit. Remember now, when we die, the Spirit and the Holy Spirit goes back to God. But it's this, the soul, that's the prize. And we need to get the Holy Spirit into our soul. Into our soul. Into our soul. That's what made them wise. The wise took oil into their mind. They took oil into their emotions. They took oil into their will and into their desires. They submitted their lives unto God so that God could live and dwell within them. Hallelujah. Isn't that marvelous? God isn't waiting for us to die for us to experience Jesus Christ in the fullness of God. We can have it now. We can have the Holy Spirit working in these areas of our soul, but it's also preparing us for the coming of the Lord. Now I'm going to finish up in Isaiah 52. Look at this here. 52 of Isaiah. And remember, I read verse 11. And it says here, 52:11. Hallelujah. It says, the last sentence says what? Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Do you remember what the vessel is? Your soul. The word of the Lord to us tonight is, be ye clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. Your soul is a vessel of God. And God wants you to be clean because you're bearing it. But the key is to get the oil in the vessel. Amen? And the only way you get the oil in the vessel is by obedience to the Holy Spirit. We must obey the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, God bless you tonight. It's been a blessing to be able to share the Word of God with you.